Isn't that amazing? How many of you never thought about it like that? I got way too much time in my hands. I'm just, you don't understand. When I read this stuff and I think about it, I'm in awe and reverence of who he is. I cannot believe that he chose me as a vessel to learn this stuff. I can't believe it. I look at him going, wow, thank you. I don't deserve it, but I'm going to keep going with it. Among people today, so still, I use a sign of honor, friendship, and hospitality. Did you know that in Arab world, there was a lady who came over to our house for dinner, and we were talking about salt. And she said, I live in Jordan for about a year, and there was a lady that we were becoming friends with, and a Jordanian lady, and she invited me over to her house the first time, but she never sat with us, and she never put salt on the table. But the second time, she put salt on the table, and she sat with us and ate with us. And she said that the moment she looked at a picture on the wall, and she said, wow, that's a beautiful painting, that the lady got up from her chair, picked up the painting, and gave it to her. Why? Because the moment she sat with them and she ate with them, she implied friendship and covenant, and now she has to extend the highest level of hospitality in her house. And that's why the army, when a soldier gets captured, they always appeal to the elder of the community to say, treat him as a friend. Because if you call him a friend, now you have to guarantee his safety and you have to pay with your life if you have to. Because friend in the ancient world was also a legal term of covenant. Now, interesting that Abraham was a friend of God. Wow. Think about that for a minute. That the creator of heaven and earth will look at Abraham and says, that's my friend. He is so loyal to me that I'm going to make a covenant with him, and I'm going to guarantee the land for him forever. No one can take it away from him. He's my friend. And then it says later on in Genesis that he chose Abraham because he knew that he will teach his children the commandments, the statutes, and his judgments. Wow. The word know meant that he recognized the loyalty. When he called Moses, for I know you by name, Moses. He says, I recognize your loyalty to me. Moses was such an amazing man that when he's interceding on behalf of Israel, the Lord, in this week's Torah portion, it tells you, Yahweh says, dude, let's get rid of all of them and I start with you. Did you know that if he would have done that, he would have been righteous enough because we broke the covenant and he didn't break his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob because Moses was a descendant of them? He would have kept his word. But listen to what Moses said. Moses was more interested in the integrity and the honor of the oath that Yahweh took when he came in covenant with Israel. What would the nation say? In other words, he loved the Creator so much, he says, what would the nation say about you? That you brought them out of Egypt and then you led them, you killed them in the wilderness? How about your integrity, my king? Wow, that's pretty amazing. For us to be defending the integrity and the honor in the name of our Creator. Amen? Salt was once so scarce and precious that it was used as money. Caesar's soldiers received part of their pay in common salt. That's why it's called salary. Salarium. Dating back to the days when workers would pay their wages in salt. In the modern expression, not worth its salt. It literally means not working good enough to earn his wage. Salt was the chief economic product. By the way, how many of you know what happened in India with the English Empire when, what's his name? There you go, that guy. Gandhi, right? When he went into the whole thing, you know what the issue was? Salt mines. England wanted to control the salt mines and the Hindus says, no. It was all about salt. That's how precious salt was. The Roman soldiers built one of the greatest military roads in history. It's called Via Salaria, which means the road of salt. Why? Because without salt you cannot live, and salt was so precious that it was used as currency back then. This is why I buy Himalayan salt, or Celtic salt, and I keep it. Because you can live without water for so long, you can live without food for so long, but you can't live without salt, without water, without food. Get it? Yes?
Yes.
It's a little different, isn't it? Now, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but when my Prime Minister Begin went to Egypt, and President Sadat of Egypt, you know, President Begin was greeted as he set foot on Egyptian soil. And it was reported that the two men stopped and they take bread and salt together. And I believe that's the reason why they were killed. Because now, the moment they have bread and salt together, they're coming into a friendship of covenant. And that's why they don't break that peace treaty right now. Notice they want to break it. But they know that if you break that covenant, the oath that you took in the names of the gods that you worship will come, and the curses will come upon you. Right? So salt is very significant. Think about it. When Yeshua was having Pesach, or whatever you want to call it, because now there's an argument whether he had Passover or not, but in reality, he was taking a covenantal meal. He was taking a covenantal meal. When we take Passover, don't we have salt at the table? Do you know that when you take Pesach, Passover, you're coming into a covenant with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? And there's biblical conversion, and there's rabbinical conversion. You know what biblical conversion is? You eat Passover, you are the kingdom. If you eat Passover and then you celebrate Easter, guess what? It's the equivalent of adultery. You came in covenant with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through the work of redemption of Yeshua, and then you're going to go sleep around with a fertility goddess? That's nothing new. It's called Asherah. It's an ancient god. It's interesting that was shaped as a tree. The whole story in the Bible is about two types of trees. The one of signs and good and evil, and the one of the tree of life. Right? And right now we're arguing with our brothers about two trees. The Torah. Et Chaim. The tree of life, the Torah, and the tree of Christmas. Which one you want? It's the same story from creation to now. You got to make the same choice as they made back then. You don't see that other tree in the millennial reign, do you? I don't think so. Is this making sense to you?
Yes.
Amen. How did one enter into soul covenant? Now you see this if you study the story of Joseph. Now remember when the children of Israel went down to Egypt the first time because there was famine, and Joseph gave them food. Did Joseph ate with them?
No.
So he didn't apply covenant with them. He ate with them after there was full reconciliation. They were eating at his table. The moment you put salt in the Arab world, you put salt on the table, you imply covenant with that person. See, we don't really think about it because we are removed from the ancient Near East. We don't live in that culture. But if you think about it, how many times have you broke bread with people that you will never want to be in covenant with? Because in our culture, it doesn't mean the same. So we take it lightly. But you see, the custom of pledging friendship or confirming an agreement or covenant by eating food containing salt still remains today among some of the Middle Eastern. The Arabic word for salt and for agreement or treaty is the same word. And so most common way of entering into a salt covenant was done by eating food containing salt. So I continue the story that I started. You have this person going into the desert, and there was a sheik who's coming to steal from him, or some thieves trying to steal from him. What does he do? The money that he had, he put it under the fire in the sand so they would not find it. But he knew the customs of the people. So he asked the people to come and eat with him. The moment the person sat with him, he spilled salt on the guy's plate. The guy knew he could not do any harm to him. Because now they ate together and they had salt between them. So that person took the particular foreigner to his destination as a bodyguard. He could not touch him according to the words of covenant that it was back then. Man, what happened to those days? That we can give our word and we can sit together. How many say, hey, come on, let's break bread? We use that expression all the time. And we don't realize that we're coming into a friendship covenant together. Amen? You tired yet? Enter into a covenant of salt was never done lightly. In Bible times, guests would eat their meal while their host stood. If the host ate with his guests, then we will have entered into a salt covenant because the food contains salt. So guess what? The Bible doesn't say that there was salt when they were eating. The angels were eating with Abraham, but they sat and ate with him. Because in the previous chapters, Yahweh made a covenant with him. Remember? Do you know that having a meal is basically one of the steps of ancient covenant?
Yes.
Do you know that when you have the wine and the bread and on Shabbat, and then you have the meal of Shabbat, that is a covenantal meal? Okay. So if you invite somebody to your Shabbat meal who could care less about Shabbat, who after they eat at your table, oh, wonderful, Jesus is the Sabbath, And then they leave your house, they're going to be slandering the Sabbath and the covenant and the Torah and Yeshua. It says it's not for them. They just defile the covenant they enter with you. A gentleman from Pakistan, he heard this teaching that I did at a conference, and he came to me and said, you know, Rico, that our elders taught us, even to this day in Pakistan, that if I eat at your house and we have salt together, and I leave your house and I go and I see him, by the way, and then he starts speaking bad against you, and he asks me to say something bad against you, I must say to that person, no, because I ate of his salt. They eat this, they keep the stuff serious over there. We don't quite understand it nowadays. Amen? I hope this is making sense to you. I'm going to move away from this because I'm going to cover a little bit more tomorrow. Okay? But I want to get to really what I want to get to. There are two types of systems of belief. Now that you see what salt does, and I give you a small amount of information, scientifically what salt does to your body. Do some research. You find some fascinating stuff. It's amazing. In the way that we try to have easy life, quick things. We live in a 7-Eleven society. We want everything now. You know, if you go to a fast food place and they take more than 5 minutes, you get all, look at me, what, it takes too long. I'm guilty. So right now I'm enjoying the air conditioning and I'm enjoying all this stuff because when I go in the wilderness, I lived in Puerto Rico. Look, the Lord knew that I needed to do a job and that I was going to go in the wilderness. So he had me being born in Puerto Rico, which is 95 degrees every day with humidity. So that when I go in the wilderness and it's hot, I'm not going to complain because I grew up in it. See what I mean? He knows what he's doing. Can we trust him enough to let him do the perfect work of redemption in us? If you're born in Michigan, it's for a reason. Chicago is for a reason. You know, he'll see you through because he's a God of covenants. He promised and he will do it because that's the kind of Yahweh we've served. Okay, so there's two types of believers. We're going to talk about the two systems of religion, okay? Not the people. I never met one pastor who said, I want to go to school so I can learn to deceive people. I've never met one pastor. Never met one person. I never met one rabbi that I know in Israel that says, I want to deceive people. No, their desire is to help people to understand the Creator, to try to serve with the information we have. Now, there's some in Israel, and there's some now that know about Torah and willfully, rebelliously will speak against us. That's a completely different ballgame. We're not talking about that. In Matthew 5:13, it says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt lost its flavor, what it will be salted. It's interesting that in the temple service, salt was very prevalent in the altar. You needed salt. But you know what's interesting? How many of you, when you heard that Yeshua's name was really not Jesus, how did you feel? How about the time when they told you about the Sabbath and you were so grounded into the church system that you said, what? It's like putting salt on a wound. It hurts, right? But what happens to the wound once it gets past the pain? It heals. That's exactly what Torah is. See, Torah becomes a salt because we are now in covenant through Yeshua with the Father. So now we become the evidence that there is a God, because when they see us and we keep the Torah, then we're letting everybody know we are the salt of the earth because Yeshua, we're in covenant with him, and through him we can have access to the Father. Amen? Amen. Now, did you know how significant that is? So, question, does the salt acquire the flavor of the meat? Or does the job of the salt is to give the meat flavor? Now, with that being said, let's take it into the spiritual realm. Should we, as the salt, take the flavor of the systems of religion and look like them, act like them, speak like them, or shall we be distinct and bring the world to the level of Yahweh's character and integrity and the flavor of the Torah? How about that? You see what I mean? So when people say, oh, you know, the Lord this, the Lord that, and they start acting like the world and bring it and say, well, this is to worship the Lord, like they worship the world, I have a problem with that. Because the Creator says, when you do it my way, this is the way I said to do it. How many kids do you have that they act one way in the world, but when they come through your house, they know who they have to respect? Right? As long as they respect you in your house, you don't mind. Now, salt represents covenant, fidelity, agreement, honesty, permanence, loyalty, durability, usefulness, value, purification, eternal, perpetuity, and incorruption. That should be some of the attributes that we should have. And by the way, when I read this list, I hope I have some of those. Because this is the journey and that's the challenge. How do I keep covenant? You have to study covenant. How do I become faithful? What are the levels of faithfulness? Well, if I'm in covenant with Yahweh, and I'm in covenant through Yeshua with our Messiah, so therefore, guess what? You speak against my master Yeshua, it's as you're speaking against me. Your enemies are my enemies, your friends are my friends. We no longer live by those principles. How many of you gentlemen, if they say something wrong to your wife, they even look at her cross-eyed, you're going to get upset.
Amen.
Right?
Hallelujah.
Because if they disrespect your wife, it's as if they disrespect you. See what happened to us? We allow people to disrespect our wives. Really? You mess with my family, I have issues with you.
Amen.
Why? Because I'm in covenant with my wife. And my job is to protect her by any means necessary. And I want to be so loyal, so anybody messes with my family, I can stand up and do exactly what Yeshua did. He was willing to die for us. Can we die for our wives? Can we die for our children? Not because we're looking to be martyrs. No, because we're looking to be standing up on covenant. And if you can do it on the physical, with a little seed that you have with your kids and your wife, how much more our Redeemer? How much more our Father, our King? You see what I mean? Once you understand the physical, the horizontal and vertical relationship. That's why in the Torah, in Numbers chapter 30, it talks about when there's a woman who takes a vow and an oath, and the father or the husband hears of the vow and the oath. He can annul that oath. His job is to protect her. It's not to humiliate her. Remember what I told you earlier? If you take an oath and a vow, you have to do it in the name of the God that you worship. So if they knew you cannot follow through on that oath, then you would take the name of your God in vain. And now you're guilty because you saw it and you didn't do anything about it. It's to keep each other accountable. Amen? So now we have salt, it's covenant, and it's eternal. How much time do I have? I need to know. Started around. I don't know what time I started. Believers with salt of the covenant of Torah. They keep Torah, they keep the feast, they keep Shabbat, they keep biblical kosher, and they live as Hebrews. On salted systems of belief, they keep Easter, they keep Christmas, they keep Sunday, sunrise service, they eat unclean and does not want the Torah. You know what happens when you say you don't want the Torah? You know that the Torah is the heart of the Creator? Are you guys with me today?
Yeah.
See, if you, the first letter in the Hebrew is a bet. The last letter on the book of Genesis is a bet. The last letter of the book of Deuteronomy is an L, like Lamed. And the Lamed bet makes the Hebrew word lev, means heart. So when David says, I want the heart of God, you know, you want the heart of David. Well, wait a minute, the only books available when David was alive was the scroll of the Torah.
That's right.
That's it. So you want the heart of David, you got to follow the Torah because that's the only books he had.
That's right.
Man, I love the Torah. Ma hafti Torah. Oh, how I love your Torah. Let me tell you something. And I don't mean this in any arrogant way. But I cannot comprehend, and I don't understand, why it pleased my Heavenly Father to call me into this calling when I know that I don't deserve His mercy. You know why? Because He remembered the covenant He made with the Levites. And when my father, my literal father, began to pray for me while I was in the world, he began to pray in the name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the Creator of heaven and earth, think about this, there's 7 billion people on the earth right now. And you are the remnant He's chosen to be His witnesses in this last day. And we are not the perfect remnant. We have issues. We are a family in peril. We are a family in chaos. If you want to be Israel, you must be out of your mind. You want to be, let me tell you how. Abraham didn't have any children. The Lord promised them Sarah's great, a great idea, Sarah. I'm going to give you my handmaid. We know what problem that created. But did you know that according to the legal sense, back in that time, she was bound to do that? Because in the ancient world, when you married a woman, you were married on the condition that on the covenant that 2 years, if she didn't have any children, she can bring you a handmaid, or you can inherit your main servant as the heir of your house. That's exactly what happened in the book of Genesis. But you see, the nice idea got us 1.2 billion Muslims running around. Right? Then you have Isaac. Oh, Lord have mercy. Jacob and Esau. What a mess that was. All the way from the womb. Then you have Jacob. Poor guy. He takes the inheritance from Esau because he didn't want it. But then when he goes measure for measure, when he goes to the house of Laban, they gave him the wife that is not supposed to, that he didn't want. Set 14 years, he was really love Rachel. Right? He had to work for 20 years. Then he comes back to the land of Israel. Now he's stuck with three women. He only wanted one. Are you sure you want to be Israel? Right? And to top it all off, she hides the God under her menstrual cycle and she dies when she comes to the one that he loved was hiding the idols and then died when she came into the land. Then you have what? The 12 tribes. Oh, Lord have mercy. It even gets worse. Reuben sleeps with Jacob's handmaid. What? I can't. Can you imagine in the kingdom? You see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Adam, Eve, Noah. And then you see Reuben. Dude! What were you thinking? And then you have Judah. Right? He comes in cahoots with all the brothers to try to kill Joseph. Simeon, they want to kill the younger brother. You notice when they went to Egypt and they're trying to go over there and they're trying to get the seed or the food, right? And they kept one of the brothers behind. Notice that all the brothers go back to Jacob's and they finish the food that they got from Joseph and they forget about their brother. All that, hey, we finished the food now. We can't go back unless we take this guy with us because we forgot to tell you we left the older brother, younger brother over there. This is family in chaos. But Yahweh is so faithful that every tribe, he gives a piece of land. He said, yo, Dan, all the way to the north, out to the north, and Simeon, all the way to the south. Go over there. It's like having children, and you have brothers that always fight. You over there, and you over there. Only come together at the table. That's Israel. You have one person believing in a secret name, in the calendars, in the lunar Sabbath, in the Leviticus or whatever, in this and this and this. They can't even come together to the table to break bread together because we're all experts. But you see, the wisdom in Yahweh is that even though you have different 12 tribes, they have their own piece of land, and you mind your own business over there, but when it comes to my Sabbath, you all keep it as one. When it comes to my feast, you better come and show yourself at my table. Don't be arguing with your brother. It's not about us. It's all about her. So are we covenant? Because covenant demands obedience for blessing. So like I told you earlier, if you confess, you came into a what? A covenant. And you acknowledge and you promise that you'll be faithful. That you will love, you will be undeniably loyal to the covenant that Yeshua allowed you to come into. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you this. I am in awe. I am in complete awe and reverence. And I cannot believe that the creator of heaven and earth, of the 7 billion people, and he has angels worshiping 24 hours a day. Actually, they don't even know what time is. They are removed from time. And all they do is worship and worship Adonai Sevaot. Kadosh, 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 Adonai Sevaot, 24 hours a day, 24 hours forever, ever, 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 ever. And the moment you begin to pray in the name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, from your heart, and you start asking him to remember the covenant, to remember the promises, to remember his word, then he inclines his ear in the perfect worship of his angels, and he hears your cry. And your cry, and your cry, when you were saying, show me more truth, show me more understanding, for I am thirsty, for I am hungry. And then he gives you the Torah, and then we just throw it away, because now we're experts.
Ah, come on now.
What happened to us? Where's the fear of the Lord?
Yeah.
What else can he do for us? He established a covenant knowing that Israel will disobey. Do you know what it is? That the creator of heaven and earth is so sovereign for his word that he knew that we will disobey. Still, he loved Abraham so much. He said, yo man, I'm going to guarantee this covenant forever. And I'm going to walk between the pieces. And I will say, may what happened to those animals may happen to me if I break this covenant with you. Knowing he will break it. That's loyalty. That's love. That's perseverance. That's the creator that I serve. So why do we think that we have any say in his kingdom? What makes us think that we have any authority in a kingdom that never belonged to us, that only by grace through faith we can be partakers of? We better know our place. We better shake ourselves. Because the time is coming that it's no longer about how many Torah verses you know. It doesn't matter how much Hebrew you know. It doesn't matter how much you think the dates are on the feast. It's all about, are you willing to die for your king?
Right.
Are you willing to stand up for the righteousness of his word? Are you willing to fight even by your death? Are you willing to sacrifice your most precious possession? Abraham, he sent his son to the altar. He was so loyal to his king that when the father says, I want you to take your son, your only son whom you love, he says, no problem. And he took him up, no questions asked. He put him on the altar. Now that's loyalty. Can we do that? That's the heart check I need to have every day. And it's not easy, ladies and gentlemen. It's not easy. It's a challenge every day. Every day when we get up in the morning, we're like, Yater Hara, Yater Hatov. We have the evil inclination and the evil inclination. We have to deal with this flesh. You have to make a choice from the moment you get up to the moment you go to sleep to be faithful and persevere in the promises of the King. That no matter what anybody says, you will still worship, praise, exalt, and adore the King of the universe. That's the God I want. The one who makes his presence known. I can tell you all this information, but if we do not have a humble heart, and if we don't understand submissiveness, and if we do not understand what it is to be servants in the kingdom that does not belong to us, that by grace and mercy and the death and burial resurrection and the resurrection of Yeshua, now we are partakers of the commonwealth of Israel. For what? So that we will become the salt of the earth. The moment we walk, we will declare to the nations that the God that I serve, he is God.
Hallelujah.
Adonai hu Elohim. You know, sometimes we have all this thing to say about Judah. Oh, the Orthodox this, the Orthodox this, the Orthodox this. But you know one thing that I admire about them? That when it comes to the Sabbath and the feast, they're not arguing, they keep it together. And when it's time to repent, they gather themselves together at a stadium. And they start praying the Selichot. They start praying the prayers of repentance. And all of them start chanting, Yahweh, you are God. You know where they took that from? From Elijah. You see, Elijah? Where are the Elijahs in the last days? Where are the Calebs in the last days? Where are the Joshuas in this last days? Where are the people who are willing to stand up for the righteousness and the covenant? Who were willing to say, I will celebrate, exalt, uplift, and I will stand up for the land, for the people, for the covenant, and for the God of Israel. That's the kingdom we want. It's not about how much we know. It's not about how much we know. It's about being in awe of the King every day I get up. Modea ni lefanecha. We gratefully thank you. For you have restored my soul within me. Do you understand how significant it is that from the moment you get up, your duty is to proclaim the oneness of who he is? Shema Israel. What would happen if all of the Hebrew root movement, all of it, will meet in one stadium for one weekend? I'm not talking about the hour. Not talking about the name. Not talking about one, two house, three house, four house. What would happen if we get together and we start calling upon the name of our Creator? We have sinned against you, have mercy upon us. What happens if we learn the real concept of teshuvah, repentance? What would happen if we just open our hearts and start saying, we have sinned against you, have mercy upon us. And then we start calling upon the Shema, we are your witnesses that you are one and that your kingdom is eternal and that we will be loving you with all our hearts, with all our soul, with all our strength. And because you are God, Yahweh, you are God. And we start declaring that, thank you for salt. Because that lets me know that no matter what anybody does, I know that nothing can remove me from the love of God, from the loyalty, from the faithfulness of His Word. That's what drives me. That I'm willing to go anywhere in the world for one person just so that we can be in covenant. Because you never know that one person can do. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for an army of people who are willing to stand up and say, I will stand for the promises, and I will stand for the kingdom, and I will stand for the covenant. Are you those people? If you are, then you must dedicate your whole heart and soul to honor, to praise, to exalt, to worship Him for who He is. Not because you want anything, but because He deserves all the glory and all the praise. What happened to us? Don't take this weekend as an opportunity to just meet and learn each other's name. Learn to know each other's integrity and honor. So when things go down the drain, you know in whom you trust. That you can look at each other and you can have each other's back. Are you loving each other that much? Let's redefine terms. We need an army of young, older, I don't care how old you are. Stand up and worship the King. Stand up and exalt the Holy One of Israel. Stand up, O Israel, and let's praise Him for who He is. Let's praise the Creator because He is holy. Do you know what it is? That you are the chosen generation? Do you recognize that you are the chosen people? Stand up, Israel, for your King requires of you holiness, dedication, perseverance, and the unconditional love that a true king deserves. It's interesting. When the Muslims, they hear something about their pagan god, they all rally together to kill everybody who annoys them. But when somebody dares to say something about our king, we're not strong enough to stand up and defend them. What kind of kingdom does he have? That we're no longer standing up on the principles of holiness. We're no longer standing up for the principles. This state, this city has declared already, the Jewish person who is the mayor of this city already said that the city does not represent the values of the Bible. He made that declaration. You know what makes it worse? That is a Jewish person. I don't care how much Hebrew he knows. I don't care how much the circumcision. As for me, he is my enemy, because the moment you tell me that men and men and women is valid, then you transgress against the commandment of my king. And if you turn against my king, you turn against me. That's what he desired. Not self-righteousness. He's not looking for self-righteousness. He's looking for a kingdom who is willing to worship, willing to exalt him, to praise Him and recognize who He is and what He's done for us.
That's right. Yes.
That's why I praise Him. That's why I commit myself to be His servant. I just want to be the best servant I can. Arise, Israel. Please, arise, Israel. Arise, Israel. Stand up. Please, everybody stand up. We need to make a declaration this weekend. You're going to hear different teachers? I don't want you to be keen to what they say, because we're all for one purpose, and that's to honor the Creator of heaven and earth.
Hallelujah.
That's it. But as you're standing, we need to make a declaration to ourselves. Remember, covenant means something. Do you know what's amazing? That when we promise something, the Creator believes what you promised. He is not naive, but He takes us for our word. That to me, I don't understand why. Why would the Creator not start from scratch when we disobey? Who's going to question Him? The angels? He can get rid of them too and start from scratch. Why David would say, what is man that you should be so mindful of us? Have you asked yourself that question? Out of the 7 billion people, He heard your prayer. Your prayer, my brother. Many people say, if I would have known this when I was 20, you would have rejected it if you were 20. He waited until the proper time when I was so beat down by life, when I tried to do everything on my own strength. He waited when I had to just surrender. He waited at the perfect moment. He loved me enough to just break me down. And He waited for me until I said, I give. He did that for you. So that now we come together and it's all about how much we know. How about how much we want to submit, adore, praise, and worship. Exalt and magnify the name of the King of Israel. Yahweh, the Lord of hosts, is His name. Our Father, our King, our shield, and our strength. We thank you, we exalt you on your Shabbat. For you are holy and your name is holy. And your holy ones will praise you all the days of our lives because we recognize how awesome you are, how exalted you should be. We thank you, we exalt you. Not because we are trying to gain favor from you, but only because we are just grateful. We are thankful that in the midst of the world, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of defilement, in the midst of rebellion, you still incline your ear for your name's sake to those who sincerely call upon your name. My Father, my King, what are we that you should be so mindful of us? Why have you found favor? Why have we found favor? I don't quite understand why. But for that, I'm so grateful and thankful that you will allow us the opportunity to even approach you, to even speak to you as the sovereign of the universe, to even become your servant in this world. And we are not doing a good job, my King. We are transgressing, we are rebelling, we are going back to the sins of our forefathers, we are changing your feasts, we are changing your ways, we are doing the imagination of our hearts, and we forgot that we are just your servants and that we are not more important than your message. You are my strength. You are my shield. You are my hope. You, I hope, all the days of my life. Open my heart to your Torah, and my soul will pursue your commandments. For some reason, you promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you did it for your name's sake, that you would establish us as your heritage, as a people to ourselves. And what have we done in return? When we walked in the wilderness, we desired to return to Egypt. When you gave us meat, we wanted more. Even with water, we complained. We even questioned the authority of your leadership. We want to return, and the worst thing was that we turned away from the promise of your inheritance. And we brought a bad report. But my Father, my King, if it pleases you, and if we found favor in your sight, I humbly come before you, not because we are righteous, not because we are holier than anybody, but we choose, and we want, and we desire to submit, to humble, to surrender to your will, to your Torah, and to our Master Yeshua, whom you have appointed as the heir of your house. Oh, my Father, please, we desire to know your ways and to walk in your statutes and to walk in your commandments, but we don't know how, for we are just children. But if it pleases you and you incline your ear, and if you would extend your right hand one more time, please act for your name's sake, act for your right hand's sake, and act for your righteousness' sake. Do not delay. For you are our hope, you are our strength, you are our only comfort. Remember, I pray, your dispersed among the nations. Raise up young people as Calebs and Joshuas, as Davids, people who will fight for your integrity and your honor, people who will stand up for the holiness of your camp. Where are the Pinchas, O my King? Where are the warriors that you have raised up? Where are the 300 men of Gidon who believe in your power? You promised us the land. You promised us victory. You promised us that you will go and lead the way. You even gave us your Son as guaranteed of the covenant. Your Spirit as the guaranteed into the day of redemption. You've given us sustenance, protections, and guidance. Still, we turn from your commandments to no avail. But we repent. Me and my house, we have transgressed, and I return to you. Let this weekend be a great weekend, but not because of us teachers, for we are merely your servants, trying to convey the message that you've given us. But my Father, my King, if it pleases you, I pray, I hope, and I desire that even in the integrity in our hearts, that you will measure every word that comes out of our mouth, and that you will be pleased with us this weekend. That for a change, we can make it all about you, not about arguments, not about theology, not about who's right and who's wrong or how much we know. That we can just come together this weekend and to focus in one mind, one heart, one people, one soul, to honor, to praise, to magnify, to exalt, to uplift, to glorify the King of the heavens and earth, Yahweh the Lord of hosts. Because Yahweh, you are God, and there's no one but you. Our Father, our King, I humbly ask you to consider the matter. I do not dare to claim, and I do not dare to demand anything in your kingdom, for I'm just your servant. But if it pleases you, and you look down upon from your throne, and if you bestowed a blessing upon your people, that we may live at least this weekend in this place, in this hotel, as a covenant people unto ourselves. And every need in this place can be met. Those who are sick, bring healing to their bodies. Those who have lack, bring sustenance. For I believe and I trust, and I would always proclaim that you are holy, your word is holy, your Messiah is holy, your Torah is everlasting, and that you are a covenant keeper. The world will try to say that you do not keep covenant, but I am a witness that you do keep the covenant with our forefathers, because here we are exalting you and praising you tonight. Stand up, Israel, and worship your King. Exalt your King. Lift up your hands to Him and let Him be thankful, because He has given you a day of rest so that you can be exalting Him, so that He can romance you, so He can just take care of your needs in this place. Why should He do that to us? And for that, I am forever grateful and thankful. As for me and my house, I will praise you. I will glorify you. And I will submit to every decree, even if I don't understand, but I will do my best to follow you and only you. For I love you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Baruch Shem Kevo Malchuto Leolam. Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Blessed be His name and His kingdom forever. Please stand on the covenant. Stand on His word. Stand on His promises. Stand for the land. And ask Him to make you a Joshua and a Caleb, so the world will know. So the world will know once and for all that the God we serve, He keeps His promise. That when He shows up, the whole world will bow down. Because He is. And He will send Yeshua to redeem us, so that we will exalt, so the whole world will have to recognize and know that when you mess with my King, when you question the authority of my sovereign, and when you doubt His integrity, He will take you to task. Isn't it amazing that we are on His side? He chose you to be His people, to be on His side. He chose you to be His disciples, to be His witnesses, to be His representatives and His ambassadors of His kingdom. Think about that for a little while. May the Lord bless you and keep you and protect you and guide you today. And I pray that everything we said is delightful in His eyes, that everything we do will find favor in His eyes. For ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. The time is running short. And we better know our place in His kingdom, because we don't want to learn the lesson the hard way. Amen? Amen? The faster we recognize He is sovereign, the more and the easier it'll go for us. Thank you for the opportunity to come to you tonight. And I pray that the Lord will not let you sleep tonight. I pray that my King will wake you up in the middle of the night and speak softly to your ears and let you know how much He delights in you and how much He desires your worship and your faithfulness and your submissiveness and your heart. If He will do that, I guarantee you, your life will change forever. And I pray that the desires of your heart will be answered tonight. God will bless you, Jesus.